Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 72, Psalms chapter number 72. Traditionally, on a night like tonight, as we have one last service before December 25th, we go through and read the story of the three wise men, or read the story of Jesus' birth, or even as I preached on Sunday, the story of the shepherds that watched their flocks by night and went and worshipped and met a king. And as I was getting ready for tonight, and I even considered doing one of those passages, I hesitated from going away from my plan to go through different psalms on Wednesday night and look for a psalm that would show us our King. Psalm 72 is a psalm that's written in my Bible. The one I have right here says a praise for Solomon. One of the Bibles I have, because I looked in several different under the titles of the psalm, it said a psalm by David. The other one said a psalm by Solomon. Mm-hmm. There is all I searched it online, who wrote Psalm 72. And the Bible doesn't say. But it would indicate to me that the psalm was written by David, or David had it written for Solomon. But beyond that, it could be called a job description for a king. If we were looking for a king, as far as the church goes, or as far as our business goes, if we were trying to hire somebody for a position, we would write out a job description and we would say, these are what we're expecting, this is what is going to be required of you, and this is what to look forward to if we hire you for this position. Job descriptions are a new animal in the job in the world, because I remember so many times some of us older folks will, that a lot of jobs you took and you went to work with an idea of what the job was and found out it was completely different than as described in the ad for it, or as you went and talked to the guy that was trying to hire you. But now they put out job descriptions. They say, this is what's going to be required of you. These are the things we expect from you. And here's the basics of your job description. And we determine from that whether we meet the qualifications, or if we're willing to accept the responsibilities and go forward from there. We see as you study the life of Solomon that he was the wisest king. In this psalm, we see that David desired only the best for his son. But I believe that this psalm looks forward to Jesus, the only true and wise king. Amen. Verse number 1, it says, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. He shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his gracious name, his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. As we look at this, in verse number 1, we see, give the king his thy judgments. The righteous reign was passed down. The right to reign was passed down from father to son. And Solomon received the right to reign from his father David. You know from the 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings that as you study out their lives, that many tried, Absalom tried to take the reign from David and tried to take the kingdom from David. It didn't work real well for him. But David gave it to Solomon. But ultimately, to Jesus. Lineage also not only gave rights to the throne, but also brought expectations. Many of us, as we were growing up, we were told and taught that, hey, you come from this family, and by the very thought of the family that you belong to, as you're out and about, as you're going around, people know who your dad is, know who your parents are, know which family you belong to. Conduct yourself in the right manner. As Solomon was given the right to the throne, as David passed to him the mantle, the crown, the scepter, it says that he had the expectation of having the judgments of God. Basically, the ability to consider decisions, to come to sensible conclusions. He also had the expectation of being morally right or justifiable. Solomon showed both his wisdom and lack thereof in his reign. He showed the necessity of a righteous king. Solomon was as I said earlier, considered the wisest, but he was also such that he had issues and showed that his wisdom often lacked. Come on in. Psalms chapter number 72. And when Solomon showed his wisdom, he also showed his frailty. But when Jesus came, and during his ministry, he showed that he was the perfect king. Perfect in his actions, but also perfect in the fact that he was not only a king, but he was the son of a king. Verse number 2, we see, he shall judge thy people with righteousness. The king can't show favoritism in his judgment. The person's status or lack thereof could not be a deciding factor. Whether or not they would support him in his next election, whether or not they would rise up against him in the next opportunity, he can't make judgment based on their ability to harm him or help him. He must make judgment based on what is right, what is justifiable. The only thing that could sway a king's favor is the spirit of the person seeking it. It says, "And thy poor with judgment." Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 3 gives what we ought to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we realize and we understand that we're unable to, of our own ability, to attain heaven, we realize that we are without the resources, that only through Jesus, that's when we find the favor of the King. Verse number 3, the peace comes. Peace to the people comes by righteousness. Without righteousness, there can be no peace. So many times we hear people hollering and carrying on about how peace and everything can be accomplished through this or that program or by doing this or that. But it's a false peace. Verse number 4, he says, "He shall judge the poor of the people." We see in Revelation that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and we'll bring that up again. But one day everybody's going to stand before God and give an account. It's so good that He will judge the poor of the people. But most of all, it says He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in bands the oppressor. They shall fear Thee, verse number 5, as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. It's obvious at this point that David is no longer praying for Solomon, no longer talking about Solomon, but talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." We don't experience that so much here in New Mexico. When we do get rain, it seems like it's either cold or whatever. But if you've ever been in one of those areas where when the rain falls, it feels good. It cools you off and makes the air feel right. And it's almost a joy to be out in it in spite of Mom hollering. When it rains over in Hawaii, you can be out in it and not be going, "Wow, I need to get inside." You're getting soaking wet, and it doesn't feel so bad. But so many times we run. So He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. After you cut the grass, and for those, and I'm not an experienced, I grew up out in the desert, we didn't cut the grass, we pulled the goat heads. But it's my understanding that after you cut the grass, that's the best time to water, that the grass needs that nutrient, needs that comfort after the blade cuts that. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3, the whole chapter, gives us an indication of what it's like. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Always we consider the rain, the dew from heaven, and as God commands, even life forevermore. Verse 7 of Psalm 72, he says, "In his days shall the righteous flourish." in Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 22, it says, or verse number 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. In his day shall the righteous flourish. The blessings and what Jesus brought with him for righteousness. And he says, in the abundance of peace. For how long? When will the moon be gone? If you listen to the naysayers and all the stuff going on and the greenhouse gases and all of that stuff that's afflicting the world today, God said it'll endure forever. Verse number 8, he says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Jude, verse number 25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. When he came and was born of a virgin and lived amongst men, but most of all as he went and was baptized, and immediately after his baptism was carried away in the Spirit out into the desert and spent 40 days fasting, and then immediately following that, Satan attacks him. Takes him up and three different times offers him things that Satan didn't hold the title to. Didn't have the right to give away. And then he died on the cross and received through his sacrifice what was promised for ages. Verse number 9, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. His enemies shall lick the dust. We know that, as it says in Revelation and other places, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But even as you consider the lick the dust, and basically to in the presence of a king, to kiss his boots. But back in Genesis chapter number 3, verses 14 and 15, we see the curse.